If you're here this morning and you've never been told that His mercy is more, that's what we come together to testify truth together this morning. Most of us are really good at identifying that our sins are many, but it's a little more elusive to remind ourselves that His mercy is more. What good news that we have to tell one another. Lamentations chapter 3, a few short verses this morning, beginning in verse number 55 down through 58. Lamentations 3, these are the words of God. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. I remind you, we're toward the latter part of a series in Lamentations. Next week will be the concluding week in this study that we've been on. This morning we turn our attention to these short verses. It's not lost on me that life comes to us in a moment, and it comes to us quickly. This week, to be perfectly honest, I was battered over and over again, and it reminded me how prone we are to believe lies, even if for but a moment. That is the message of Lamentations comes at us this morning. Paul reminds us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, that the enemy of your soul disguises himself as an angel of light. And oh, how he brings lies. I wanted to, as way of review, tell you about some of the lies that have come my way just in preparing Lamentations. And we'll do this briefly because there's 20 of them. But every one of these I hear from people in the church. Every one of these I've said to myself. And every one of them is a lie that Scripture speaks truth against. Here we go. I will not fail after my confession of faith. Number two, I am not worthy. I am different than others. I will not have ups and downs if I live a faithful life. I will not wander away from my God. Any of these familiar for you too? I am the only one in the wilderness, and I'm there by my choice. God is vengeful. God is hiding from me. My brokenness will last forever. That's one I've been well familiar with at different seasons. Here we go. I will naturally return to God without discipline. I can continue in the noise and still hear His quiet voice. I can test only and make progress. That's what we talked about last week. Faith in Christ guarantees my best life now. Lie. Our best life later, eternally. I can do it if I will it up more. I don't have a real enemy. Christ died for naught concerning me. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. I don't need renewal. I have no hope. I don't need the gospel every single day of my life. And the whopper that we go after is number 20. It is too late. This is what we go after in the study of Lamentations. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. This is the offer of our great God. It's not too late. But I'd remiss if I didn't remind you that one day it will be too late. I was reminded of that this week. I have an acquaintance who is 34 years old that is no longer walking this earth this week. His day came. It is too late for this young man who renounced over and over again a faith in Christ alone. This too is the news of the Scriptures that we read together. All this to say, who do you trust? What voices are you listening to? See, every time we open up this word, we get invited to make a decision. Every time, whether it be in your quiet time or whether it be when we're gathered together to hear the preaching of God's word. This word, in fact, demands a decision, and we shouldn't be remiss if we didn't remind ourselves that a non-decision is, in fact, a decision. Who do you trust? This is a note from the Apostle Paul to his protege Timothy, reminding him that he was empowered with the preaching of God's word by his grandmother and his mother. But on a grander stage, who and what voice do you trust? The noise all around beckons you to trust anything other than the word of God. That is the choice that we have, whether we will heed man's way or God's way. And I remind you of this. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. He has already given you, beloved, through his divine power, all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has already given us that. Will we lay hold to that this morning? Let's look at this few short verses together. If you haven't been with us, we're in the middle of a study, and it's taken us around a continuum of Lamentations. We covered Lamentations 1, the need to be honest about our grievous sin. In Lamentations 2, we saw that there is a holy and perfect God that demands perfection that is impossible for us to achieve. We spent a few weeks talking about the reality of brokenness and the wilderness in our life. And this week, we turn our attention to repentance. Repentance. Look together in verse 55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. Right away, we should admit how determined our sin is, even as his children. I read an article this week, and it was from Paul David Tripp, those that follow him, reminding us that we are, in fact, sinners. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. And how determined sin is in our life. And how, in a minute, the enemy of our soul will speak that to us and batter us as he did myself this week. I remind you, sinners tend to esteem themselves more than authority. They believe in autonomy. They rebel rather than submit. They think that their wrongs are really not all that wrong. They're self-focused and not sacrificial, as we're called to be in Scripture. Short-term visioned. They love morality formed more by feelings than the Word of God. That's one that I'm familiar with. Buffeted by winds, flip-flop often, try to solve things themselves. They don't pray enough. They look to themselves for the answers. And I would tell you as I stand before you that I am a sinner. And it's this sin that often leads me into brokenness, what Jeremiah calls rightly the pit. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. What decision have you made the last 5 weeks that has changed this in a real way for you? See, we have a choice, and that choice is God's way or our way. This word repentance, Jake and definition, here we go. It's a turning back from our way, sin, and a looking and turning toward God in his way. Lamentations 3:40, a turning, a turning back to God. I want you to know it's a decision, but it's also an action. See, we decide a lot of things and don't quite take action enough on them. And if you've believed the lie that this is a one-time moment of decision for you, God's word is clear. This will be a lifelong, dying to self endeavor for the child of God. With His grace a little better today than yesterday, but still an awful long way to go. There is hope in this definition. There is welcome in this definition. Test and examine and return to your God. Some of you noticed that I was walking around a parking lot before we began this morning. And I was looking at the car tags. And forgive me if I missed your car tag, but this is one that I was looking for. God is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. You can buy these on Amazon. You can buy everything on Amazon, by the way. God is my co-pilot. When we talk about repentance, we need to get this straight in our mind. God is not interested in a halfway repentance in which He shares the autonomy of our life. God is not interested in being your co-pilot. God is interested in your submission to His way and His will for your life. Repentance is an all-in commitment on your part. An all-in commitment on my part. I called on your name. I don't know why it is, but if you're like I am, you probably come to the end of yourself and the end of your ability and the end of your reason before you're prone to call on the name of the Lord. I don't know why that is when we have such a pattern of faithfulness in His life. Repentance is not that. It's all in with God. All in. His voice, our obedience, a calling out to Him, a speaking, a commitment to Him. Let me just tell you, if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, every other religion of the world says that you need to be better in your ability to solve this equation. Every other one. You cannot give up. You must be better. You must self-fulfill. You must approve at the rules. You must have higher self-power. You must be more religious. On and on the list goes. Christianity is wholly different. We say we give up. We give up. Because we know that it's by the blood of Jesus Christ alone that we are saved. And I don't want to poke at those that believe other things, but this well-purposed and well-meant delusion of thought leads right to the pit of despair and brokenness and hopelessness. Because we know that we can't do it. We know that we can't do it. Many here have tried. I know that I have tried. All of that leads to the pit. Verse 55. The place where I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. One of the things that we hold in highest esteem, wondrous thought and feeling, is the gospel, the merciful gospel of Jesus Christ is wholly different than that. My sins, they are many. His mercy is more. It allows me to give up on myself and throw myself upon the name of the Lord. And that, my friend, is utterly freeing, chains loosened, captivity gone, religiosity and game playing gone. What a message that is. It's a message that we have to speak to ourselves every day. And it's a message that's true. I tell you it's true because I've walked it myself. I tell you it's true because that's what Scripture tells us. But oh, how it seems too good to be true. Verse 56, you heard my plea. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you, and you said, do not fear. There's a couple of things that jump out that we won't spend time on the way to the next point, or last point. When we repent from the pit, a promise of Scripture is that He hears our plea. He hears our plea. Oh, how if I could really believe that every day when I'm in the pit, how freeing just that would be. But then a second promise, He comes near. We call His name, the invitation is made, He hears us, and He comes near. But what comes next utterly shatters my mind. You came near when I called on you, and you said, do not fear. Do not fear. Most people, and I'm most people, or a person in the most people category, live lives that are grounded in fear. Maybe some of these things are fear for you. Do you understand the context of this? God's people are being disciplined for being away from Him. We get to the bottom of the pit. We call on His name. He hears us. He comes near. And the first thing that He says is, do not fear. First, a call for help. He hears. He comes near and He says to us, do not fear. For the fathers here, your children have been away. You're in the hand of discipline. They finally come back to you. And you say, you deserve what you got. If you think that's all you're going to get more. And sometime in the second hour, you begin to soften. Our great God says, do not fear. Do not fear. Of all the things, you're in the pit because you're wayward. You're in the pit because you're broken. You're in the pit because you've given up all hope. Do not fear. None of that makes sense to me. When I come to the end of me, and I'm in the pit, and I finally give up, I expect to be scolded. Where have you been in your faithfulness? Where have you been in your faith? Where have you been? Instead, God says, do not fear. That's big God. That's a wonderful God. That's a merciful God. That's a forgiving God. That's a grace-filled God. And my testimony to you is that that is a real God, my God. And I hope that that's your God too. I hope that you have a concoctiny of choruses in your ear. Do not fear. Because of the steadfast love of the God, the first thing that He says, do not fear. What Jeremiah testifies to is true, and it's available for you and for me too. But all of this begins with repentance and a short phrase in verse 55. I called on your name, O Lord. Next week, we're going to jump all the way down to verse 58. We're going to talk about the reality of redemption in our life based upon calling on the name of the Lord. But I thought I would end with a brief story of conversion from somebody that you are well familiar with to make this point. I called on the name of the Lord. I looked upon Him. I found enormous comfort in the writings of Charles Spurgeon. Our pastor understands that one of the reasons is Charles was a self-taught preacher, the preacher of preachers. He was a man that lived so close to suffering. He suffered physically from gout. He suffered from depression. He suffered from attack of those who would stand in the way of him and his ministry. As a 15-year-old, he was trudging on his way to church one morning when a blizzard struck. And he could not make it to church. Now, we've had some of those blizzards here lately. They sound like a quarter inch of dusting of snow in the forecast. Charles could not make it up the hill. And he turned right into a primitive Methodist church. January 6, 1850, his words follow. Allow me to read them so that I get them accurately for you. I sometimes think I might have been in darkness and despair now had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morning when I was actually going to my place of worship. When I could go no further, I turned down a court and came to a little Methodist chapel. In that chapel, there might have been a dozen or 15 people. The minister did not come that morning. Snowed up, I suppose. Guilty. A poor man, a shoemaker, a tailor, or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had nothing else to say. The text that morning was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." A whole lot like, "Call upon the name of the Lord." He did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. He began, "My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, look." Now, that does not take a great deal of effort. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man need not go to college to learn to look. He may be the biggest fool, and yet he can look. Anyone can look. A child can look. But this is what the text says. Then it says, "Look unto me." "I," he said, "many of ye are looking to yourselves." No use looking there. You'll never find comfort in yourself. Then the good man followed up his text in this way. "Look unto me. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look, I am dead and buried. Look unto me, I rise again. Look unto me, I ascend. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. Look unto me, look unto me." When he got about that length and managed to spend out perhaps 10 minutes, he was at the length of his tether. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. "Young man, you look very miserable." Well, I had not yet been accustomed to have remarks made on my personal appearance from the pulpit. However, it was a good blow struck. He continued, "And you always will be miserable if you do not obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you shall be saved." There and then, the cloud was gone. The darkness had rolled away, and that moment I saw the sun. The Prince of Preachers saved. We always have a choice. The choice that I offer this morning that Jeremiah communicates in verse 55 is, will we call upon the name of the Lord? Beloved, His mercy is more. We can look to Him and call upon His name. Paul in Ephesians 1 reminds us that it's the redemption of His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, that makes us new again according to the riches of His faith. The Southern Baptist Church is known as being confessional, and sometimes we're not that confessional indeed, but I thought that it would be an excellent reminder if the congregation read these words together as a confession to the truth of what we've heard this morning. Benaiah read them earlier. Let's read them together now, and Dan will come and offer his benediction. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble. The gospel of Jesus Christ given to you. Amen.